Welcome to Home Ground. I'm Brian Kahn. Imagine, as a small child, you're drawn to music. Eventually, you begin to write songs, to play and sing them, and people want to hear you. You begin concert tours, enjoying success. Then, without warning, one day on tour, you are sky high, the next in the depths of dark and hopeless despair. What is going on? Imagine, you're Jason DeShaw. Jason, many thanks for joining us on Home Ground. I gather you're going to start us off with a song.
Song's called Going Home. I wasn't born early. I've never been on time. I had to surrender to a will that wasn't mine. I tried to stay happy like a star that never shined. I just tried to find my own way home. Met me a fella down in Tennessee. Like my guitar picking, said he saw something in me. So I opened up my pocket and he emptied out my soul. I was shaking, rattled and rolled. Oh, by a world that is not sane. My brain functions different, but our spirits are the same. You best start understanding, 'cause there's a movement on the rise. Just another word for the wise. Oh, I'll follow anyone whose love is true. I respect your religion, 'cause we all are headed home, no matter which way you go.
That is a beautiful song. I want to thank you for singing it for us. There's a line in there, the world has called me crazy. What's the rest of it?
The line is, I've been called crazy in a world that is not sane.
That's a pretty pregnant statement. We'll come back to that. But before we do, and your battle with mental illness, or what is called mental illness in our culture, let's go back to the fundamentals, the building blocks. Where'd you grow up? What'd your folks do?
I grew up in eastern Montana, and a lot of my family was into agriculture, but my folks, my dad got into the oil field business
We were in northeast Montana, up in Plentywood. And then I grew up working on a farm and ranch north of Plentywood.
What period are we talking about growing up?
I was born in 81.
So the 80s and 90s, you're growing up in that country.
Yep.
As you look back on that life, that agricultural, rural life, and that's about as agricultural and rural as we get in Montana, what comes back to you?
I think two things that I was raised on was hard work, a good work ethic, and you pull yourself up by your bootstraps. You know, and it was a great place to grow up. There was a good simplicity and a honesty to life.
Simplicity and honesty can be good values, but they may not be complete values. So let's take one, which is pull yourself up by your bootstraps. The good news is it teaches self-reliance and grit. The bad potentially is sometimes people are not able to pull themselves up by their bootstraps.
Well, and I think that was something I learned later on was, you know, when I was diagnosed with a mental illness, you know, you just can't do this on your own. There's no way you can. I mean, if I would have listened to that advice, I wouldn't be still kicking today. So, yeah, learning how to perhaps unlearn that and rely on both medicine and, you know, on fellow human beings, you know, that was in the end what shined through.
How'd you get interested in music? How young and in what way?
Well, I grew up with piano lessons. I think I had like 10 years of piano lessons or something.
Was that your mom or your dad or what?
Yeah, mostly mom.
Yeah, moms I think are more oriented toward that, more open.
Yeah, and then I think it was like my junior year of high school I started getting into country music real heavy, and it was mostly all old school Johnny Cash, Waylon Jennings, and thought I'd try writing one on my own, and I wrote my first song on a tractor, actually. Wrote it in my head and got back to the shop and called on the phone, on the shop phone to my mom's answering machine and recorded my first song.
So. Just like that.
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't know. That's the way it went down, I guess. But
obviously that stuck. Why? You're still doing it.
I think anybody, when that first lightning bolt of creativity hits, there's an excitement to that, perhaps knowing that you're good enough to create something, you know, having that inner belief that you can be part of that process, you know. I don't know, for me it was a way to kind of pen some of my inner thoughts, inner reflections, and that there was something really healthy about that, you know. That was maybe the first time where I started to communicate emotion, really.
How old did you say you were in that situation?
I suppose I was 17.
Okay.
When I first wrote my first song.
So 17, and you're expressing a certain type of emotion for the first time, and it has power for you.
Yeah.
Now, the implication of that might be that for at least a good part of that 17 years, maybe because of the rural cultural tradition of the West that a man doesn't show emotions, that had been sort of kept down but was there. Now, would that be part of your background, part of your story?
Oh, yeah, I think so. I mean, I think growing up, we just, we didn't talk a lot about emotions and you know, so to begin that process and putting them to song, it was kind of a new feeling, a new exploration. And for me, I guess maybe the big thing was when I communicated it, mm-hmm. Others liked it, or they were supportive of that. So I don't know. Had that not happened, I don't know if it would have kept trucking or not.
So that's a potent reinforcement.
Yeah.
You're listening to Home Ground, and I'm Brian Kahn. We're talking with Jason DeShaw about his music and his life and his illness. So you get a positive response. You get positive feedback. It feels good. What next?
Well, for me, I then graduated high school in 99 and actually went to Carroll College in Helena.
What'd you study there?
I studied business marketing. I was actually pre-med for a week.
What was your reason for the switch?
I don't know. I didn't want to be responsible for other people's lives, whether they made it or not. I think I figured writing songs and doing business would be a little, less serious.
Okay, now was the business management related to the idea that maybe you wanted to be a musician and you wanted to learn those skills, or totally separate?
It kind of was. I think in the back of my mind, I'd thought about doing music, but it wasn't until my senior year that I really kind of went after it. And then I had I recorded an album called The Country Way, and we had a release at the Myrna Loy. And that, for me, I think that it was a packed audience that night, and it was all people who had supported me that year of performing live, you know, just these little shows I'd done. I think that was really a game changer for me, that this was possible, you know, to make a living on music, or to at least to take a shot at it.
Now let me just ask you emotionally, that's a big deal, that if I get it as a concert from an album, not just one song, in front of some people that care about you and you care about them, and you're going to get a verdict here, fair? So what's that like emotionally?
Well, I think growing up and still today, you know, I struggle with confidence, self-confidence, you know, self-esteem. And part of that's, you know, probably due to the illness. But I think that many people telling you that you're worth listening to, you know, that vote of confidence was enough to, you know, propel me to do it. And you know, what a great feeling to know that you can take people away from their worries for an hour and a half, you know, or sometimes when they're out listening to your songs on the road in the CD player, you know, to be able to share that with people, that commonality through song, is a great honor.
You just said something, and I won't get it exactly right, but that the audience response in part is in hearing your music, releasing them from their worries or their concerns, taking them someplace else. How do you know it? How do you sense that feeling in the audience? Is it when you're playing? Is it after? What?
I think it's throughout it all. For me, performing live is so powerful when the audience is there with you. And I mean, actually, when their eyes are locking with yours and seeing that you're sharing your emotions, and then so thus it's okay for them too. It's been a beautiful experience, you know, to hear from some people how music has helped them through life. I had a gal write me I think it was an email I got from her, and she said that my music or this certain album had helped her get through chemotherapy. And I thought, you know, that's beyond what I thought that could do. But I've gotten more than a few of those where people just say, you know, I lost someone and I can remember listening with them to your music. Or I don't know, it goes back to the thing of, which I believe to the core, is that I'm just a part of this, that there is a source in this, and it's not me. You know, I hold the paintbrush or the pen, whatever, you know, art it is, and I'm a part of that. When I realize that I am just a part, then I think that level of human connection can be either restored or created.
And when you say you're just a part of something, there are a couple of possibilities, and they're not mutually exclusive. One occurs to me, you might be saying you're carrying a message from a higher order, something like God, and you're a voice for some deep bridge with human beings. That's one. Two is, what I will call your transparent integrity and passion when you sing. And this isn't the first time I've heard you sing, but you have this, what I will call an integrity, honesty, and power in what you say, because it's you talking. It's not you're singing somebody else's song. You are communicating that to me. And that gets person to person to the audience. Do you follow me? So mm-hmm. One is sort of purely secular, but the added ingredient is the human bond, and one is something bigger. Are they both? Are they one or the other as you see it?
I think of it as flow, because I don't understand it myself, how it works. I know a lot of great artists have always said that it just comes through them, and I really believe in that. And, you know, I think it's hard to put a label on it. It's the same source as what some would call by different names, I guess. It's whatever people believe in, whether it's religion or what. But I do know that it's beyond me, but that I am a part of it all, kind of, and that I feel connected to God or higher power or great spirit or, you know, by the many names. I feel that when I'm writing and when I'm living, when I'm in this flow of trying to help others get through this shared adventure, this shared experience, you know. I mean, we all experience the same emotions, whether it's fear or hope, and when we can find this harmony, whether it's in song or in word, that's those moments of beauty, I think, is when I can look in someone's eyes in the audience and know that they've been right where I've been when I wrote that word or that song, and to know that we share in this, both this light, this darkness, this life.
You're listening to Home Ground, and I'm Brian Kahn. We're talking with Jason DeShaw about his music and his life and his illness. So in summary terms, your career is launched. You've been, in my words, from what I heard at a presentation you made at Hometown Helena, you begin to enjoy significant success. You're invited to go on tours, travel, not just in the United States.
Yeah.
So that looks to a guy from the outside, and I'm assuming on the inside, hey, this is success. I'm singing now professionally. I'm earning money. I'm getting feedback from an audience. I'm getting that kind of rush that comes from what you've just described, that connection. You go on a trip to Canada. What happens?
It was 2010, and I was on tour in Canada, and I'd been experiencing, well, there was a period of Great Depression, and then there was a period of all of a sudden one day waking up feeling like $1 million, and everything started going fast, and the freight train started to blow its whistle, and I didn't know what was hitting me or how to hang on, but I found myself in Canada doing these shows, and it eventually ramped up to the point of where I was kind of on a spiritual odyssey, kind of, I guess, of sorts, and I told the audience up there through the microphone that I was the reincarnation of Sitting Bull, or the bull that sits no more. And to me, that was my truth. And to the tour promoter, it wasn't his truth. So he called friends and family of mine, and we got through to the first ER experience and then into the psychiatric unit. And we had driven through the night and got there. And the psychiatric eval person asked if I heard voices, and I said, well, yeah, sure. She said, whose voice do you hear? I said, Johnny Cash. She said, what does he say to you? I said, well, I hear the train a-coming. It's rolling round the bend. And into the psych unit I went. And one of the things that has come with hypomania and mania is this great kind of over the, I guess, a lot of confidence, and also I can be a little charming, and I kind of charmed myself out of a few different psych units with no diagnosis. And it was a period of hospitalizations and kind of great struggle before I finally got the diagnosis of bipolar 1 disorder.
Okay, let's break this down, because there are some technical terms that I don't understand and maybe other people don't. You're having, sounds like a high. You think you're Sitting Bull or a reincarnation or something. You're hearing Johnny Cash. You have professionals are saying, this is not normal. You got a problem. Now, when people tell you that at that point, you think they're crazy? Or does it make sense to you that something's out of order here?
I think through a few of those first hospitalizations, I thought they just didn't get it.
Okay.
You know, they didn't realize that what I was feeling was real.
Right.
And then I guess it was on the third hospitalization, through some psychiatric testings, it showed that my mania score on that test looked like Mount Everest on this chart, and they said, you have bipolar 1 disorder. And the interesting thing was, I think when I seen that chart and they told me that, I mean, as far as I can remember, I accepted it. I went on medication that day. I've never been off them since.
All right, so now let me go to the other extreme. You said depression. What's it like for you? What does that word mean for you when you are feeling depressed? What do you feel? What do you see?
I think darkness is probably a pretty good word for it. I sometimes liken it to just a heavy black curtain that falls in front of your face, or in front of my face, and I can't see through it. And the world may be beautiful outside, you know, and nothing's changed dramatically in my life, but all of a sudden, there is just a heavy fog, a dark curtain that just all consumes me. Yeah, sometimes I don't see a way out. And the hope, what was once hope in feeling good or even feeling manic, mm-hmm. all that hope turns to fear.
First, obviously, that's a long way from sky high, from manic optimism, and you can do anything. Secondly, just so I understand, you were how old when this first hit?
I was 29.
How old are you now?
33.
Okay, 4 years. How often do you have these swings in that period of time? Every month, every 2 months, every 6 months?
It's kind of been all across the board. It started off every, you know, few months to, or every, well, about 6 months to here since January of this year. It's been about every week something's going up or down.
Okay, I've had friends with bipolar disorder, and I would say for them, the down and the recollection of the down shakes one's fundamental confidence because it's so stark. Is that fair?
Oh, yeah. I feel like I've likened it to losing my soul. You know, I lose every confidence to believe in any part of me. So, yeah, I mean, that's definitely rougher on me than the mania, but the mania worries, you know, everybody else.
So then during this period, you're seeing doctors regularly, you're on medication, you're trying different medication to ameliorate or modify these symptoms.
Yeah.
Obviously, that's a super intense experience. Having gone through it and going through it, when you're neither on the high nor the low, but like maybe we're talking right now, how's it look to you? Hopeful? Not sure? You look forward to singing next time? What do you feel like?
I have to keep hanging on to hope. Even when I don't feel like I can, I still somehow cling to knowing that there's light around the bend.
When you're in this place, this state of mind in between, does singing, does your music, singing it, help you reinforce that sense of hanging on and hope?
I think my songwriting is how I process life. My journey is kind of one that has been sung thus far, and I hope there's some bright songs around the corner.
Please sing us one of those songs.
The song's called Free. It's a song I wrote during Mania.
Try to tie me down. The cage is wounded, but it'll be a while. Tis sweet salvation, sir. Think that you can fool me with ancient philosophies. Don't you know the times are changing, babe? And it starts with you. I won't live in your life or dwell in your cage of contempt. I will break free and fly back to from where I was sent. My feathers scared you off, bright as the sun, sky is blue. My song was sweet and pure. The melody must have scared you. I won't live in your life or dwell in your cage of contempt. I will break free and fly back to from where I was sent. I will still pray for you, for love is all that I know. I will soar high above. So look out down below. Oh, I won't live in your life or dwell in your cage of contempt. I will break free and fly back to where
Jason DeShaw, I very much regret to say we're out of time. I want to thank you so much for being with us on Home Ground. And to our listeners, many thanks for being with us. We hope you'll join us next week. Home Ground is an independent production of Artemis Common Ground and does not necessarily reflect the views of this radio station. Post-production by Valtron Recording Studios. We welcome your ideas for new programs at www.homegroundradio.org. Home Ground is made possible by grants from the Liz Claiborne Art Ortenberg Foundation, Cinnabar Foundation, Humanities Montana, and the Greater Montana Foundation, encouraging communication about issues, trends, and values of importance to Montanans.